Mark chapter 11, verses 27 to 33. Na tumeona kwamba mfalme wa Mungu amefika katika nji ya Mungu. He's come to claim his kingdom. Amekuja kupa wokovu kwa watu wa Mungu. But he has not come the way that you might expect. He rode in on a donkey. He was greeted by the common people, not by the great men. And when he came, he's come to save, but he also comes to judge. Jesus came to his temple, and he threw out the things that did not belong there. And that's what we saw last week. We saw the story of the fig tree and of the temple. That curse he placed on the fig tree so that there was no more fruit was a sign of his judgment on Israel and on the temple, that their place would be taken away, and the blessings of the people of God would belong to those who believe in Jesus. For he's come to make a new people, those who would trust in him because of his death on the cross. He's come to claim his kingdom by dying and rising again. Not what you might expect. Now as we find him again in verse 27, he's again in the temple. Walking in the temple courts, it says. He's staying overnight in the village of Bethany, about 2 miles away. And he comes in each day to the temple, and there to teach the people. There to explain his kingdom. And Luke says he was there preaching the gospel. We should admire the great courage of Jesus, the strength which he has, trusting in God his Father, because he's come really to the center of strength of his enemies. He's come to the heartland of his enemies, those teachers and Pharisees and scribes, the priests. They had decided to kill him. They were looking for a way to get rid of him and put him to death. And we've been told that. And yet he came to the place of their strength, the place of the strongest opposition to him. He came there so that he might teach the people. He wouldn't be dissuaded. You know, no one can touch you without God's permission if you're doing God's work. If you're being faithful to God in his work, you're invincible, you're immortal. Until the time God has chosen for us to leave, until the time God has chosen for us, nothing can happen to us. And here we see Jesus, good example to us, trusting in God. He wasn't afraid of his enemies. Now let's look at verses 27 and 28. And we are able to see the question which Jesus was asked. This passage is all about one question, Swali Moja. The question he was asked, verse 28, is, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave this authority to you? Well, they say it twice, but it's only one question, isn't it? Where's your authority? How come you, Jesus of Nazareth, are teaching here in Jerusalem, in God's temple? He's not one of them. He was not one of their group. They hadn't approved him. Who told him he could come to the temple and throw out those traitors? Who gave him the right to do these things? Now why are they really asking this question? See, they could find nothing wrong in the life of Jesus. They could find no evil thing which he had done. And they could not find any fault in his teaching either. Though they tried, and there are some questions in the next chapter where they try. They ask him about the ruler, Caesar, and they ask him about the resurrection. And they try to trap him, but they find nothing wrong in his teaching. So instead, they ask him about his authority. They find a legal problem. Trying to ask him, you know, have you followed all our laws and regulations? Is this really all in order? Something you'll often find when people can't find anything wrong with your life as a Christian, They can't find anything wrong with your belief as a Christian. They'll try and get some small legal problem. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Why? Well, they couldn't find anything wrong with his life or practice as a servant of the king. So they got a new law, which they knew Daniel would have to break. There was no existing law, so they tried to make a new one. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, that these teachers and scribes, they're the leaders of Israel. They should be the first person to know who Jesus is. They should be the first to say, yes, you've come from God. You're doing the work of God. The authority of God is in you. And yet, they're the very last, and they still don't see it. These are the last few days now of Jesus' life. This is perhaps about Tuesday in the week, when Jesus is put to death, probably on the Friday, and they still don't know who sent him. Yet it was far back now, all the way back in chapter 8, when the disciples had said, you're the Son of God, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. Way back in chapter 1, we've been shown it. Way back in chapter 1, John the Baptist was testifying who Jesus is. Yet here are the leaders of Israel, and they still don't know. Why not? Because they're proud and they don't want to know. God shows himself to the humble. God shows himself to those who will lower themselves before him. But those who will stay high and mighty will always be confused. If you will keep your own ways, you'll never know God's ways. Now, why were they asking this question really? It's as I've already said, they had decided they needed to kill him. They had decided that Jesus must be got rid of. That if they were to keep their place and their authority, if the people were to keep following them, chief priests, teachers, elders, then Jesus had to be got rid of. So they're trying to set a trap for him. When he gives the wrong answer, they will have him arrested. And so they're trying to find something wrong. People will always find something wrong with the work of God and with God's chosen teachers and God's people if they want to. And you can certainly find lots of faults in me. You can certainly find lots of mistakes and sins and errors in us and in our church if you want to. Jesus was perfect and they found problems with him, and we're sinners. So you'll be able to find many with us. But really, why do you have some of your questions and problems? Are they, like with these leaders, just an excuse because you don't want to give your life to Jesus? Because you've got some sin you want to keep. You've got something in your life you don't want to hand over to Jesus, even as a Christian. Do you have some excuse for not serving? Some excuse for not obeying everything God's told you? And you can point the finger at your brothers or your pastors, and perhaps the things you say have truth in them. But is it just an excuse? Are you really hiding something? Well, here's Jesus then, and he's in danger. His enemies, he's in their heartland, as it were, though really it's God's temple. And so he had confidence. But here he is, the place of their strength, and they're trying to trap him so that they can arrest him and take him away. So let's look at how Jesus answered verse 29 and 30. Well, really, it's another question. We don't quite get to the answer yet. He answers them by using a question. A question is answered with a question. And they weren't honest men. They weren't sincere. So Jesus did not have to give them a straightforward answer. He had a question to put to them, to find out if they had the right to know the truth, to see if they deserved to be told. We can ask God our questions. The Bible tells us that God will also ask us his questions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We shall all stand before the judgment throne of God. We shall all stand before Christ. And we have our questions. But God will ask you, what have you done with your life? Did you trust in my Son? Did you believe and obey my gospel? Did you walk in my ways? I wonder what questions Jesus might ask you today. If Jesus was here today, and he knows your life, what questions will Jesus ask you? Well, Jesus' question to these men was in verse 30, and he said, if you answer, then I'll answer you too. It's a fair deal. So, the baptism of John, where did it come from? From heaven or from men? U baptizo ya Johanne ilitoka wapi? Binguni au duniani? No. Did its authority come from God or did it come from man? And when he says John's baptism, he really means John's whole teaching, his whole ministry. John taught about the kingdom of God. He taught about the coming Messiah. John said, Jesus of Nazareth is the one. And those who repented of sin to be ready for the Messiah, they were baptized. So if you accepted John's teaching, his ministry, then you're baptized. So he's asking the whole service, the whole teaching of John. Is it God's teaching? Or is it just one more thing from man? One more thing with no real authority at all. No, all true authority comes from God. God tells us in Romans chapter 13 that the government of every land has authority from him. God tells us in different places in the Bible that the authority of a man within his family comes from him. And God tells us that the church is from him. And there's no authority, truly, unless it's from God. So what about John? What do you say, you Pharisees, you teachers of the law? Is he real? Or is he a false prophet? Well, let's just look at the beginning of the book of Mark, and let's remember that service of John the Baptist. If we go right to the beginning in chapter 1, we can read about him. There's the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's go to verse 6. It says, John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than me, the thongs of whose sandals I do not deserve to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then if we continue reading, we see that Jesus of Nazareth was the one that John was speaking about. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of John tells us more about the preaching of John the Baptist. It says, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But this is the one who I spoke about when I said, "There is one greater than I. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." See, John's work was to introduce Jesus to Israel. He's the one, as it says in the first words in Mark, spoken about in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare the way. The voice of one in the desert crying out, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" God said through his prophets that someone would prepare the way. He would announce and introduce the Savior to Israel. That was John the Baptist's work. No, Jesus came exactly as the prophet said he would. Everything that the Spirit of God said in the Old Testament, it all happened. So he was born in Bethlehem, as it said he would. That he came up out of Egypt. He escaped the wrath of the king, Herod. He came at just the time when the prophets had spoken about him. He was born into the family that God had announced. He was a son of David, King David. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was a Jew, being born from the family of Abraham. And he did the miracles and signs of the Messiah. He gave eyes to the blind. He opened the ears of the deaf. He gave speech to the dumb. He did many signs and wonders. Everything that God had said about Jesus, it happened. He was marked out as the Messiah. Now, you're not one of the priests or Pharisees, but we can ask you the same question. Who is Jesus? What have you read in the Bible? And if you've read the prophets, if you know about your sin, if you know that God says you need a Savior to die in your place, well, what do you say about Jesus? Will you believe in him as your Savior? Do you think there's somebody else who is to come? Have you found something wrong with Jesus? Have you found some prophecy that he has not fulfilled? What will you say? Well, now these teachers and elders and priests, they've come with a challenge, but now they are challenged. In my country, we say, the tables are turned. I don't know if you know these sayings, or sometimes we say, the boot is on the other foot. You know, they've come to trap Jesus, but now the question is on them. So let's look at verse 31 up to 33. Natuna weza kuona vitu ambavyo wamesema, walisema. Verse 31, they discussed. Mark chapter 11, 31. They discussed. They could see their choices. Tukisema, toka binguni, atauliza, kwa nini? You didn't believe him. Say, John's baptism came from heaven. Then why have we not believed him? You see, John, he preached. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. He's bringing the kingdom of God to us. Repent and trust in him. That was John's preaching. How can you say John is sent by God and then you don't believe his message? Do you think that this Bible comes from God? Do you think that we who preach, that we're preaching God's message? Well, do you actually believe it? You know, if this Bible is from God, are you believing the things that are written? Or each week do you say, I don't like that bit too much. I don't like that teaching. We'll keep that one far away from us. Or the things you're hearing, do you say, it's from God, so I must believe it. Well, what's the other choice? Verse 32. They could say, it's from men. In other words, they could say, John was a false prophet. And then they would be in some danger, as it says in verse 32. They were afraid of the people because all the people believed that John really was a prophet. We can read a little more in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 28, 29 and 30. Jesus speaking about John the Baptist. In verse 27, he uses those words from the Old Testament, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Now all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, they acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. So here's the ordinary people, and some of them known as great sinners, yet they had received John's preaching and they rejoiced now to hear Jesus speaking about him. And they praised God. But, verse 30, the Pharisees and experts in the law, the leaders, they rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. See, they'd kept a distance from John. They'd listened to his preaching, and they'd asked him who he was, but they hadn't submitted to his baptism. But that was a little time ago now. There'd been a couple of years now, a few years, about 3 years. And it had all gone quiet. But now, if they opened it up again and they said to the world, John is a false prophet, they knew they'd be very unpopular. And it says in the Gospel of Luke that they feared they would even be stoned. Because the people knew that John was true. That's interesting, isn't it? The leaders, they didn't know who John was. Or they wouldn't accept who John was. But the ordinary people of Israel, and even great sinners, they knew the truth. And they received God's message. See, the leaders are involved really in some politics. Involved in some of their own plans. They had their own desires. And because of that, they wouldn't accept the truth. But the ordinary people could see the truth. And they were baptized by John. And it's sad, but it's true, that often leaders get involved in power games and their own plans. And they no longer want to see the truth. But the ordinary people can see it. That's something we've seen again and again in Mark. So be careful as God lifts you up to any place of service or responsibility. When God gives you any task, that you don't get involved in power games and politics, but that you keep your heart pure, so you can always give an honest answer to any question which you're asked, unlike these men. Notice what they did not say. They did not say, what is true? They said, well, if we say from heaven, we have a problem here. If we say from men, we have a different problem here. So they just said, what will our problems be? But they should have said, what is true? And may God help us to walk in the truth when we know it. That's what you should say. Don't say, I'll have problems if I follow this teaching. Say, if this teaching is true, may God give me strength to walk in it. If Jesus is the Son of God, let me obey him and God be with me, even if the world is against me. That's what you should do. These men didn't do it. So here's their answer in verse 33. They said, we do not know. The truth was they did not want to know. How many are like that? Do you want to know the truth? I don't ask, do you know the truth? I say, do you want to know the truth? Because you know if you follow Jesus, your life has to change. He must be the king. His laws must rule you in everything. Do you want to know the truth? If the price is your life, because you must give him your life. So in family and work and every place, you follow him, whatever he says. Well, these men said, we don't know. And how sad that was. They were defeated. We see now they were very small men. They were nothing. It was their role as leaders to decide these questions. They'd had 3 years since John the Baptist had begun preaching. It was their duty as the shepherds of God's flock to tell that flock, this is a true prophet, listen. Or to say, this is a false prophet, he must be put to death. But instead they said, we don't know. And they'd gone on like that, month after month, year after year. Well, in my country we say, when you're in a hole, stop digging. If you find you're down some hole, stop digging. As the Bible says, repent. Turn back, even if it's a long way back. Repent. When you're in a hole, stop digging. But Jesus said to them, I'm not going to tell you either then. Verse 33. I won't tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Those leaders chose not to see. They chose to shut their eyes and to be blind because they didn't want the truth. One of the spiritual laws in God's kingdom is in Matthew 25:29. It says, "He who has much, to him much will be given. And he who does not have much, even what he has will be taken away." In God's kingdom, you need to use what God has given you. Maybe he's given you very little. Maybe your opportunity to serve him seems small, but use it. Maybe you only see a little of God's truth, but obey it, and God will give you something more. Maybe you only have a little light. Walk in that light. God will give you more light. But if God gives you a little light, and you choose to walk in the darkness, God will even take away that light from you. These leaders, they had the light that John and Jesus gave them, but they refused it. And now they just have to say, "We don't know. We have no idea. We can't see any truth this way or that way." They chose darkness, and God judged them with blindness, spiritual blindness. Well, let's remember, Jesus came to Jerusalem to hand himself over to these men. This wasn't the day yet. On this day, he defeated them. But just a few days later, he would hand himself over to them so that they could do what they wanted, so that he could die for our sins. Even some of them, even many of the priests, we're told, later repented and believed. He handed himself over even to them when they hated him so much. They only came to speak to him, to trap him and arrest him. And he handed himself over to them, that by his sufferings they should be saved, that through his mercy they would be forgiven, that through his life they should never die. Have you chosen light or darkness? What are you choosing today? Jesus gives you light. Will you walk in it? If you won't walk in it, then one day the light will be taken away. There's a clear division. You're with Jesus, or you're against him. Which are you?